Open our Bibles, brothers and sisters. And last week, we left off here in the Song of Solomon. And we left off in the second chapter. So again, Song of Solomon chapter 2. But specifically, we left off in that glorious sixth verse where she says, "His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me." Now, let's just call it what it is. We left off in the lover's dip. And I pray that you didn't leave. Amen? And I pray that we're not leaving. Hallelujah. And it's getting sweeter as the days go by, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And I thank God as I look into my brothers and sisters' eyes. We're starting to delight in Him and His desire for us. And that's the transformation. I could not give Him any more thanks than to see this come forth in our lives. And how precious it is, because it's precious to Him. This is what His desire is. This is the whole plan, the purpose, the provision, and the power that He's given us is to fall in love with how much He loves us. And I do. I commend you and I thank you and I praise God how you encourage me. But how we have seen this Shulamite transform, praise God, right before our eyes, into this glory, His glory, amen? Because as the bride is seen in Revelation, she descends from heaven having the glory of God. She has it. She's ravishing. She's stunning. Her light, it says. Praise God. And we know there's only but one light, and that's Jesus. It's Him, but it's hers. And this is who she is. She's His wife. They are one. She has grown up into Him in all things. And how glorious we see this transformation happening in this precious sister. And again, this bridal type who, by the grace of God, we, again, hope to be. This is where God has placed us in this time and with this message. And it's not just a message. It's the proposal. That's what it is, and it's pressing, reaching, that I press toward the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Just like Paul said, if by any means I might attain to that. Praise God. I've said that to so many people before that just kind of wanted to sit there and argue about, well, you know, there's not going to be ranks in heaven. And well, I mean, you read the Word of God, one star differeth from another of glory, every man in his own order. And it's not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. It's just what Jesus is doing. We saw that you're choosing what banner you're going to be under right now. You can find yourself in one of the seven churches right now. You really can. You can. Well, God help us to park ourselves right under His banner over me is love. Amen? That's the banner. And but it is so sweet because I just have said that many times and thinking about that, what Brother Paul said. I said, well, there he was, the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle to the church. If he was just done and satisfied, that was over 30 years later he's saying that. If you knew that, and he knew that he was guaranteed a heaven, which he knew, then what in the world was he pressing and reaching, and if by any means I might attain? Amen. Amen. Just read it. And then maybe you'll hear it and settle down in it and quit trying to fight with it because somebody told you something about it. Maybe religion's told you something about it. But I'll tell you what, you better listen to the Word of God or you're going to miss it. And I thank the Lord. And many times, and I've had this starting to happen to me, and I thank God. Well, how do you know? Because the Bible tells you so, and that's it. So there's no more to argue about, because I don't want to waste my time nor theirs. But how does she know that she's transforming into His glory? Because she's growing in the boldness of the knowledge of His love to her. We've seen what she's professing. We see what she's now able to say. She's not running around, oh, I'm just so wicked and I'm so ugly. And no, she's saying, hey, wait a second. He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me is love. Huh? I'm the lily among the thorns. I am, praise God, His love, much loved among all the daughters. It's okay. It's okay to delight in how much he loves you, because you knew it was only because of the grace of God that made you that way, right? Amen. Because you could never say this. You could never say it without the grace of God. It's got to be the grace of God that transforms us into this, and we thank the Lord for it. But we see that, again, it's the boldness of the knowledge of his love to her. Yes, just as the Apostle Paul states in Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Isn't that something? That's the whole shooting match. To know the love of Christ. But think of that, which passes knowledge. And what passes knowledge? Faith. Finally figured that out. It really hit me. Speaking to me today, honey, in a sense, what really passes knowledge? It's faith. Faith passes knowledge. Man cannot understand faith. Man can't get faith. Faith passes knowledge every time. Praise God. Praise him for that. That's why you do know. It's because of faith. Because of the grace of God, it gave you faith. That you believe it, that you know it, passes man's knowledge. This enters into the very mind of Christ. Praise his name. Now, and when we know, and when you know his love to you, praise God, we're going to begin to say the same things as this sweet, precious woman does. I'm the lily among thorns. Praise God. I mean, I'm the much loved among the daughters. I don't care what you think. This is what he says. And I thank the Lord for that. And, you will know his desire to you as you begin to say these things. And what your standing is with him. And again, that standing, it's all because it's a marvelous work of grace. And then we begin to just walk boldly because, you know what? Praise God, so simply, I know what my life is about. I know what it's all about. Boy, I'll tell you, when he just sets me in that straight way, praise God, what peace and joy overflow our hearts. Amen? You talk about it as well. Now you know it is well. So now let's go ahead and pick it right up from verse 7. And it says there in verse 7, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. So we're right back on with her boldness. And what she's saying here is, don't bother my love. And she's saying that for both of them. Believe it or not, a lot of folks kind of get caught up in that word, till he please. And the reason we know that she's saying it for both of them is because that word he actually translates he or she. So literally it's don't wake love till we please. Praise God. Don't bother the love. Don't disturb it. And this verse is so applicable to us at this time, isn't it? Because this verse is referring to a season. There's a season going on here. And you know what season it is? It's the lovesick season. That's what it is. It's lovesick season. That's verse 5. Go back there. Remember lovesick? Well, we're in lovesick season. And you know what lovesick season is? It's the church age. Lovesick season is Paul's gospel, the time of the searching for the bride of Christ. And these daughters here of Jerusalem, what they represent are the majority of believers at this time that truly have no clue what this age is about. And it's the truth. That's why you, in heaven they show you the picture so sweetly. There's just a small little handful that are in the midst of the throne. That's why they're called the four living ones. It's just a little company. It's a rib portion that are the worshipers. The ones that are the majority that you see in heaven are the palm wavers, the innumerable multitude. That's who you'll see there. The four living ones are in the midst of the throne. They're seated in that throne, jointly ruling and reigning. The innumerable multitude is seen before the throne, before the sea of glass. And their song is salvation to our God. That's what they sing. It's wonderful to sing salvation to our God. But I'll tell you what, it's sure more wonderful. Praise God for my bridegroom. Praise God. See, those ones ruling and reigning have a crown. Those ones that will be standing before the throne, they're shown with a palm, like a servant. But we're choosing that place right now. We're going to get to that here in a minute again. What place are we choosing right now with God? Are we content to be a server? Or do we want the better part? As he said, don't bother her. She's the worshiper. And if you're a worshiper, believe it or not, you will be a server. But you'll serve, praise God, through the worship. And it'll come forth. Beautiful time. So we thank him for these things and just give him all the glory. But again, these daughters that don't really have a clue, so magnified as Martha. You think about her. She thought that the time was the time to be serving. She thought that the time to really please Jesus was that of serving him. She thought that pleased Jesus the most. But it was clearly seen. Jesus laid it straight. And I love the Marys. I love how he does this in each of those cases there. Let me tell you something. The worshiper chooses the better part. The lovesick one. The lovesick season. The one that's at my feet. Praise God. And we thank the Lord for this. And you see how Martha sure did try to distract Mary. The others tried to distract Mary from that place. And oftentimes it's really not intentional. It's just out of ignorance. And it's the truth. They mean good. But God's got the perfect will of God for you. Don't miss it. Don't let that pass us by. And that's why this couple here in verse 7, they're described as the roes or the hinds of the field. This means these young gazelles. They're gazelles, basically, is what this is describing. I don't know if you've ever watched National Geographic or something of that nature. You ever seen gazelles out there on the in Africa and how beautiful they are? They're just absolutely gorgeous. But I'll tell you what, those things are nervous. You know, they'll graze for a while, but they'll get disturbed and their attention span is gone like that. Well, this is exactly what this is speaking of. This is how important and this is how sensitive their courtship is. And our courtship is with the Lord. It cannot be disturbed. It cannot. And God is going to allow all of these things. I'm talking about the things that are the closest to us. Yes, to get in front of us. Allow us to be tried, basically what they are idols. And brothers and sisters, there can be a lot of good things in life that God ordained for your life in the right place that can become our idols. I'm even talking about your children, talking about our spouses. Amen. Work, all of these things. When that becomes what we worship, we're in trouble. We're disturbed. We're distracted. And God help us. I think of how sweet his testimony is to us in so many things. You know, the Lord gives us such wonderful analogies in everything he desires in our life. I think about our faith. What does he want faith like? A child. A child's faith really is absolute. Just what it is. Praise the Lord. And then here he shows you what he wants in the courtship with him. It's the fervency of young lovers. That's this roe. It's a young buck. It's one that's kicking in the field and leaping up and just beside himself in love. I'm ready to go, you know, and that type of thing. But then you see how the Lord gives us the virtuous woman. That fruitful mother is the one that is wise. You see how wonderful in every dimension this precious one to him is, this bride. As Brother Coppola used to say, she's perfectly symmetrical. She does not have one bad side. She's breathtaking from every single angle. Praise the Lord. But this is what it is in his perfect love to us. But go on to verse 8. It says, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. You see, she loves his voice. She loves the word of God. Believe it or not, this one, she loves to come to church. She loves to come to Bible study. She loves to read her Bible. Praise the Lord, she loves him to walk with her and talk with her. She hears him because she is listening for him. And notice here, he's leaping and skipping. And this is what is so beautiful, because she says, the voice of my beloved. He hears this, believe it or not. He hears our hearts tonight, right now, right now. The voice of my beloved. He hears that. And it causes him to skip and to leap. Amen, it does. Because there isn't anything sweeter to God. There isn't anything more beautiful to our Lord and Savior, who is waiting and anticipating the Father to say, go get her, honey. But what an abounding he has as he speaks to her and she listens to his voice. The anticipation of their union. Again, he's excited like this young buck in the field. And all I can say to us is, I ask us, do we see him like that when we hear his voice too? Oh, I pray we do. What a sad thing to miss that, huh? I'm thankful for what he did to me as I'm hearing the word of God. But I sure love what it's doing to him as I hear the word of God. Isn't this courtship? Praise God. Well, you ever been at a table for two dinner with somebody you really cared for? Did you just get a mirror out there and as they spoke to you, wait a second, I don't want to see you. I just want to see how I respond. Wow, look at me. I'm excited about this. You get it? If you really love somebody, whose response do you really want to see even more? I want to see him. I want to see him. I love seeing him skipping and flipping and hopping and jumping and bounding. And he's doing it right now. He's doing it right now for us, because we're just goofy enough to come and to believe his word and to believe that, you know what, Lord, your word is true. This wasn't just some story you wrote for a literature class or something that just came along that was just a passing moment. This is monumental. This is it. And praise God that he brings us to this place to fellowship with him. But the mountains here, as he's skipping upon them, they mean the high places. She knows that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that he's over all. That he's got it, you know. He's got it. And she knows it. But then the hills, there's something special even about those hills. There's many meanings of this, but I love it. It speaks of the place of worship. The hills speak of the place of worship. And you think of how he skips when we worship him. When we go to the place of worship with him, when we go to the place of drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss him, he can't hold still. He's got to skip too. Huh? Come on. Yes. That's how he loves you. Praise his name. I did. I prayed this week. I said, Lord, break me loose even more in this. I do. I want more in it. I don't want to be confined at all. Don't let me confine myself. Break me loose. Verse 9. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He looks forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. And again, he's just going to say it like it is. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. It goes back to that and back to that. That is that fervent, youthful love. So often we get into relationships and they become ho-hum, and I'm sad. Don't want it to be. And you got to fight for that fervency, don't you, by the grace of God. And what it is it's thankfulness, it's appreciation. Oftentimes I visit with couples that I've known for some time, and maybe they're having some rough spots. I said, never forget the reason you got married. Not for that car payment, not for that house payment you're fighting about, Not for this that steamrolled. You got married because you loved each other so much you could not be apart. Huh? Now, every day. Every day. And praise God, what a good day that was spent. But she begins here again with my beloved. My beloved, my much loved. And she's beginning to really apprehend that which has apprehended her, because he came at her. He did. He'd been dealing with her. That's why she finally started out, hey, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I've been playing hard to get too long, Lord. Let's just go at it now. I see how good you are. Let's go. And so she is apprehending her precious Lord. But again, how many really do think of their Lord and Savior this way? Aren't you thankful that you do? Not to think about what others think. I'm just saying, brothers and sisters, we should thank the Lord for this so greatly, that this bridal communion has graced our hearts. But see, so few do, because most don't ever hear or desire to hear Paul's gospel of Christ and the bride. The mystery of the church that was hidden from the sons of men. The angels wanted to look into it. The prophets wrote it for us, that the Gentiles, saved ones, should now be fellow heirs, joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. This is what this is. This is this precious testimony of the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon. But this is one of my favorite verses, because I love it. Again, the young buck lover is our Lord to us. And this is so precious, this verse. And I love how Brother Hill used to explain this, because he was in this time especially. In times past, the way of courtship was that each one would stand on either side of a wall or a lattice. Believe it or not, they didn't let the kids just go out together. And, you know, whatever. There wasn't any physical things at all in the courtship, you know. It's like now it's the physical first, and maybe there's talking or getting to know one another. I don't know. It's a sad world, isn't it? It is. God protected me. I think about how the Lord allowed me to get to know my wife. She was in Texas. And I was so grateful to God. How I got to know her was on a phone. And we talked and talked and talked. Boy, did my dad know we talked. He paid the bill. But and that was before you had, you know, pay for everything in one bill. No, you paid as the minutes went. And but that is how this is, see. There's no physical interaction. It's only their words of love. And you think about how the Bible says to us, speaking truth in love. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? It's just so perfect, isn't it? Speaking truth in love, we grow up into him in all things. See, when we hear his voice, when we hear the word, when we sit at the well, when the Holy Ghost ministers, yea, the deep things of God to us, we grow up. We grow into this. We become ready for him. This is the proposal time. And he's right there at the lattice. And he's speaking to us moment by moment of all of these things. And I praise the Lord that to be betrothed to the I Am, we are hearing what the Spirit speaks through Paul's gospel at the wall. And it's not just at the wall, it's at my wall. He's at my wall. And I thank God he comes. That's how personal he is. He's coming to your wall and your wall and your wall. He's coming to my wall. It's like I say, I don't know how he does it, but he makes us feel like we're the only ones, doesn't he? But see, that's how he's God. He does. You know how it is. I mean, we're all coming together and we say, man, we just all got the same lover. But I got to tell you. And I want you to tell me. And I don't want to tell you, because it's ours. He's mine, but he's ours. And it just, praise God, how it is. But the window, again, so sweetly here, and we've studied the window here recently, and the window is always the place in the Word of God of seeing the bride and the groom. Whether it was when that king looked out there after Abraham had given Sarah over to him and said, this is my sister. And that guy looked through there and he said, "Now wait a second. They wouldn't be laughing and playing around like that. That's a man and a wife." The window in the ark, praise God. Those eight in the ark represent the bride. That ark's going to lift them right out of this place, praise God. The place where that little fella fell out of the window to death, but he was revived. What was he listening to at the window? Paul's gospel. I love how just the little things. And yet this is what we can just see. And what is in here? A body like unto his own. And all the ages to come, and it will never be exhausted. That's why you're holding that Bible tonight, and you should just go, "What is in here?" Praise his name. How sweet he is to us. But see, this window also speaks of the transparency of the bride's heart and how he loves to peer, standing there at the lattice, glancing at her beauty. He's ravished. I remember when I was a kid, I was kind of shy and goofy and all, but you know, when you kind of like somebody, you kind of hit around the corner and looked at them. And you know, they call them creepers today, but you know, it used to be kind of a sweet thing and whatever. They've ruined everything, haven't they? But it was just what it was. You know, you'd kind of look and look away like you're doing something and look over there. But you know, he can't look away. Did you notice this, how it says that too? That's what's so, just the little things in here. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. He doesn't care. He's ogling, whatever they call that. He can't get his eyes off you. Loves you. And I thank God for this. But this again, this is that young heart. And I pray, Lord, let it always be that young, youthful love that I have with you. People can know this wonderful Paul's gospel. They can know about the bride of Christ. Then they get so stoic in their knowledge, they become stiff. And they become cold. And then there's no joy. And when there's no joy, this thing ain't alive. It's not. God help us. It's spirit and in truth. Amen. And the spirit is the one that sheds the love. And that's a gusher. Actually sheds the love abroad in our hearts. That's a geyser. It's just. So I tell you, if love's pouring through like that, you know that it's this fervent, youthful, "I can't control it" love. And thank the Lord again, he gives us this. But if we will be found in that place of hearing his voice, of seeing how beautiful that he sees us, and that only is going to happen, brothers and sisters, when we are clothed in the word of his grace. Do you know that? See, the place that we hear this is when we're clothed completely with the word of his grace. Amen. And we'll get to that here in a minute too, because that beautiful verse about how the word of his grace is what builds us up and gives us this inheritance, gives us this relationship, this inheritance jointly reigning. You talk about that's the inheritance of jointly ruling and reigning together with Jesus Christ, the inheritance of being glorified together with him. Not just the inheritance of being a child of God. Amen. The word of God in Romans 8, it says it very clearly. If you're a child of God, you're an heir of God. An heir of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that you suffer together with me. It sounds pretty bridal to me. I love my kids and they love me, but I'll tell you what, sometimes when the suffering hits the home, "Where are you, boys?" They're gone. I'll leave that to mom and dad. That's their department. Amen? The joint heirs. So see, God shows us even in that. He's always witnessing to us so sweetly. So don't think that that's just, "Oh my goodness, I'm despairing of my own life" in those situations. Allow the Lord to allow you to rejoice in it. To say, "Jesus, I see these deep things. Praise God, you're ministering to me." Verse 10. "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Praise the Lord. I love this verse. It hit me. She finally realizes here. Well, she's really going to realize later on. But she's seeing that, if you can give me this, she's a 10 to him. She's a 10 and beyond. She's perfect. He can't help himself. Again, he is just so given to her. He is awestruck. He is love struck. He is ravished. And all he can say is, honey, let's go. Let's go. I need to be with you. And I want us to go now. And praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, because once again, think of this. Verse 8, the voice of my beloved. Verse 9, my beloved. Verse 10, my beloved. I think it's pretty apparent, isn't it? If that's not who he is to you, if he hasn't become my much loved, my beloved, you know, naturally speaking, the only one I've ever called my beloved is my wife. Naturally speaking, that's my beloved. She's my wife. This is bridal talk. This is bridal communication. And brothers and sisters, this all begins with my beloved, my much love. It'll never go any further without hearing that and knowing it of who you are to him and who he is to you. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to go and come clean with you. You know, often I don't feel like it. I know you always do. But often I do not feel my beloved. And we can be often so fought about it in this weakened flesh, huh? But what's so beautiful, as we've seen just the first part of her distractions, and we're going to see more distractions, just like in our life. Tonight's a good night. I pray tomorrow, we see, you know what, it's a good tomorrow. Might think it's a little rough, but it's not. He's just showing himself faithful. Again, getting us to lean more upon his breast. But she knows and rests in what she is to him and what his voice has told her. And you think of the things that the Lord has told us with his voice. You are my workmanship. Amen? I will perform the good work which I've begun in you. Huh? See, as we get to really know him and to love him and to really appreciate this bridal calling, we can drift from that and not rest in that it's still him that's been performing it all, and he's the only one that can perform it all the way along. Amen? Somehow we lose track of grace. Huh? Oh, Lord, as you take us higher and higher, it's just got to be more grace and more grace. I've got to see even more of the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. It's more of the grace of God that brought me to this place. And if I'm going on, it's got to be the grace of God that takes me on. So he must increase and I must decrease. That's why she's like a window. He can just see right through her. It's just him. That's why there's such delight, praise God. She's grown up into what he has wanted, into him, into his precious bride in all things. That's why she is so captivating. But she hears the words of his voice. I am his and he is mine. And brothers and sisters, hear this tonight. Hear how much he loves you tonight. Don't wait on this. Hear him. And I will assure you, he's telling us right now. Right now. And you know it. Delight in it. Yeah, we're here at Bible study. And praise God. But it's more courtship. It's wooing. And I thank the Lord that we can come in this oneness, in the Spirit, and have him speak to us. But we need to quit looking at ourselves. Ourselves will always discourage us, whether we're looking to us to give us honor or if we're looking at us to be discouraged. It never says that. It says to listen to the word, listen to his voice. She'll always get in trouble along the way when she looks at herself or other things, always. Even at the moment where he's at the door, ready to get her, to take her out, we're gone, it's time, and she looks at herself, her myrrh. She fixes herself up. Something was about herself again, and she missed that moment. Don't miss the moment. God, don't let me miss that moment. And I'm going to be attacked all the time with this, to be distracted. Whether it's things out here, whether it's things going on with me, or whatever these things are, they're just things. And praise the Lord, we can just look to him who tames all them things, praise God. But, brothers and sisters, here is what you'll hear him say to you, what he says to me when we just listen to him woo us. We hear rise up. We hear rise up. And this just means so simply, stand. Just stand. Isn't that wonderful? I think he said that to Joshua real clear. He did. Paul said, stand, withstand, and having all to stand. Joshua said it like this, we shall not be moved. We shall not be greatly moved. Okay, we just shall not be moved. I believe that's standing. See, amen? Standing in what he's given. Standing in what he's promised. All the way along, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he has promised, not only that he will do, that is done. The victory has already been done. And it is finished. And I thank God that we can stand in that. And when we merely stand in what he has promised to us, we are all powerful in him. And that's again what this stand means. It means to stand in power. And whenever we stand in the Lord, it's always in power. It's always going to be power. And why is it that when we stand in the Lord, it's all power? Because the only way we'll ever stand is in grace. Amen? Now, let's continue on with the connection here. Standing in absolute grace is standing in absolute human infirmity. Amen? If I stand in absolute grace, I have no confidence in this flesh. Amen? So am I standing, if I'm standing in absolute grace, I am standing in my complete, in every way, shape, and form, complete infirmity, in complete weakness in me, knowing I can't do anything, and he does everything. And when that happens, praise God, that's when the power of Christ rests upon me. That's what the Word of God says. That's why Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. When I'm weak, I'm strong, because the very power of Christ is resting upon me. I'm standing in the grace of God. I'm not standing in my merits. I'm not standing in my laurels. I'm not standing in my mistakes. Because I wouldn't be standing in any of that. The only way that I can rise up or stand is by apprehending grace, the grace of God. Praise his name for this. Praise his name. And nothing else but the grace of God. When we stand in that absolute grace, the power of Christ rests upon us. We stand in absolute power because we know he desires us. And when we stand in absolute grace, we know we need nothing else. Always having all grace. Always. In all things. Huh? In all things. All grace. All sufficiency. To superabound to every good work. Always. This is that absolute power that he's giving us. And what he's saying here is, just believe in what I say to you. I love you. I have given everything to you. Believe and stand. And this stand actually means to be built up. Standing, when we stand in grace, it builds us up, doesn't it? Because we know that the Word of God tells us the Word of His grace builds us up and gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Praise the Lord. It is grace. And when we finally stand, brothers and sisters, and truly are not defeated with others' opinions of us, or even my opinion of myself, we really hear Him call to us and say, "My love, my fair one." Amen? My love, my fair one. He only tells me that because of His grace. He only tells me that because I'm surrendering to His workmanship. I'm only hearing that, praise God, because of exactly the same. I get it, Lord. I am your workmanship. And notice here, brothers and sisters, in this verse, and we'll close with this. It's my. You ever say, my? This is the my. He has you, and you have Him. You have His desire, and when you know this, I'm going to tell you something. You'll go with Him. You'll go with Him. You'll suffer together with Him. You'll go into the furnace with Him. Now, He goes in with you, but I'm telling you what, because of this love and this desire, you go together. Yes, He leads me, but you know what? I go with Him. Praise God. And He has us. Hallelujah. We walk with Him. You hear Him call to you. And this word, my love, it's a special meaning of this love. It means my companion. Isn't that precious? How bridal this is. This is a very special meaning to this word love in the Hebrew. It means companion. And then it goes on to say, my fair one. It means my beauty. My companion in my beauty. This is His glory. The woman is the glory of the man. The glory descending from heaven. This is His beauty. This is what this is. This is every meaning of this. And He says, come away. And praise God, aren't you ready tonight to say, oh Lord, let's go. Now you understand, when Rebecca heard all of those things about a man she'd never seen, but the servant at the well told her everything about Isaac and how tremendous and beautiful and all of that, even though she had never seen him. Family, and her family came at her and said, oh, come on, honey, you got to stay here just a couple more days. Oh, I got to go. And as I've said many times, that servant representing the Holy Ghost, I could see her on the camel telling him, let's go. I got to go see my beloved. Hallelujah. You ever have conversations with the Holy Ghost like that? I pray you do. You're missing it if you don't. And this come away as we close this is not the rapture moment here. It's not. This isn't about the rapture. It's about right now. You'll never go away with Him in the first trump if you don't go away with Him now. It's the truth. You won't miss it. This is tonight. He's doing this. Tonight He's speaking to us. Walk out of all these distractions. Walk out of all those weights that are tying down your mind. And merely what this word come away means, let's go take a walk. Just go take a little walk. So simple, so sweet, just a lover's stroll. And how do we walk? By faith. By faith. And all I can ask us all tonight, will we believe this? Yeah. Praise God, honey. I'm so thankful for you. You know, we believed Him for salvation when He said, you know what? God so loved the world that, you know, I gave my Son for you. Will you believe Him as your Savior? I had the faith for that. What about, you know, and the Lord dealt with me about really understanding eternal security. Do I believe that? You know, when He said that it's the seed that remaineth, when He said it's everlasting life, I believe that, Lord. You already gave it to me. I understand that's part of the package of salvation. But I'm not going to be dense and stupid to not accept what You've already given. the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I remember tarrying for a few years. But somehow, some way, the grace of God continued moving my heart to desire that. Because there was something about all truth that I knew that the Word of God said that He'd lead me into. But I needed that Holy Ghost. I needed that Spirit to have me to understand the things that we're talking about tonight. The depth of them. I could see it kind of afar off. I knew there was something out there. But man, when you got to get into the glory, I'll tell you, only one person can take you there, and that's the Holy Ghost. And by the grace of God, I said, you know what? Lord, I'll take the faith that you've given me for that. And bang. Well, how about tonight? Why stop at the halfway house, huh? Why stop? Let's go on. Let's just take a little walk. So simple. Little lover's stroll. So in closing, he says, stand, hear my words, and walk in them by faith. And I'll tell you what, you walk this little walk here, he'll walk you right in to the midst of the throne glory with him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand and be dismissed.